look at the guy for a while. If he's still standing, you go ahead and drink. Cupbearers were dispensable. They filtered out the poison and the good. Last verse of Nehemiah chapter 1. Now I was cupbearer to the king, Nehemiah 2. And it came about in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid. There probably weren't many words passed between king and cupbearer on most days. And now the king, this powerful, I don't want to call him murdering, because Artaxerxes had some many good points to him that we find in history. But this powerful, vengeful king, at least, is now pointing out, "What's the problem, son? What's the problem?" I was very much afraid. And I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" I told Bill this week that I was going to call this sermon the shortest prayer in the Bible. This is the shortest prayer in the Bible. The king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." All Nehemiah had heard was the bad news. He's not prepared a plan to rebuild the city. But the most powerful man he knows is looking him eye to eye and said, "What do you want?" "Oh Lord, if I say too much, I could lose my head. If I say too little, I could lose an opportunity." Shortest prayer in the Bible. Maybe it was just help. You got to stand, you got to think right now. What are you going to say, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah knew he better not say it alone. The king's waiting for an answer. "What do you want?" Nehemiah's praying, "Lord, help. Oh, if it please the king, and if I found favor in your sight, send me to rebuild Jerusalem." And the king did. Not only did he sent him letters with him to get him through the governors and the powers between point A and point B under the king of Persia. Not only did he send him with letters, he sent him with an escort to get him there. And Nehemiah was so thrilled, he praised King Artaxerxes. No. Look at verse 8. "And the king granted them to me because the good hand of God was with me." Something wonderful happened to him before the king of Persia, and he praises God. Nehemiah started this with a prayer to God. He used prayer to God standing before the king, and he praises God as his prayer is powerfully answered. So Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem in chapter 2 and inspects the wall. He's there for a few days and goes out at night and rides around the wall. And the next day he comes, and after that he comes to the officials. And in verse 17 he says to the officials of the city of Jerusalem, chapter 2, verse 17, "You see the bad situation we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we would no longer be a reproach. Not that so we would be protected, but so we'll no longer be a reproach." Nehemiah was taking a stand for the city of God. This is an embarrassment. "Let's rebuild this wall so that we will no longer be an embarrassment. And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and about the king's words which he had spoken to me. And they said, 'Let us build. Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work." And then we meet the bad guys. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but they're the opposition. They're the negative part of this. They're the difficulty. Not only is building the wall the difficulty, but they got opposition. They got opponents. They've got enemies. They got people who don't want this wall built. But I answered them, verse 20, quote, "The God of heaven will give us success. The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." CB and I want to use that as the verse for our building project. The God of heaven will give us success. Now, I don't say that arrogantly, as in God agrees with Robert's conclusion. I'm just saying that the God of heaven will give us success as we submit to and obey his word. That doesn't mean we're going to have a building up the street. That means the God of heaven will give us success. We're going to get up and build, and God will give us success. Because God always gives success to those who follow and obey him. Success is often the way you expect it, but many times it's not. Jesus always leads us in victory, we read in the New Testament. The God of heaven will give us success, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 3, this I just want to read. I appreciate Patrick apologizing for not getting through all the words, all the names. There are some great names here. Would you join me in Nehemiah chapter 3 and let's read about the builders of the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah 3 verse 1. Then Eliashib the high priest arose with his brothers. They determined as one that they were going to build this wall. So Eliashib the high priest, we start at the top here, at least religiously, arose with his brothers the priests and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall of the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, Sakur, the son of Imri, built. Now the sons of I've read many of these 10 times this week to get them right. Hassanah built the fish gate and laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, made repairs. Next to him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezebel, made repairs. Next to him, Zadok, the son of Bana, also made repairs. Moreover, next to him, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not support the work of the masters. Joiada, the son of Pasha, and Meshulam, the son of Bezodiah, excuse me for some of these words, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. Next to him, Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Moronathite, the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, also made repairs for the official seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to him, Uziel, the son of Harahiah and of the goldsmiths made repairs. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the official of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumoth, also made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Hattush, the son of Hasabaniah, made repairs. Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hasub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Furnaces. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the official of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs, he and his daughters. Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the Valley Gate. They built it. I like that one, right? The Valley Gate. Anyway, they built it and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars and 1,000 cubits of the wall to the refuse gate. Then Malchijah, the son of Rechab, the official of the district of Beth Hakarem repaired the refuse gate. He built it and hung its doors with bolts and bars. Shallum, the son of Kol-Hoseh, the official of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it, covered it, and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars, and the wall of the pool of Shelah at the king's garden, as far as the steps that descend from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the official of half the district of Beth-Zur, made repairs as far as the opposite of, as the point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool in the house of the mighty man. After him, the Levites carried out repairs under Rehum, the son of Benai. Next to him, Hashabiah, the official of half the district of Kelah, carried out the repairs for his district. After him, their brothers carried out the repairs under Bavai, the son of Hanadad, official of half the district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the official of Mizpah, repaired another section in front of the ascent to the armory at the angle. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section of the angle of the doorway to the house of Eliash, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired another section from the doorway of Eliashib's house, even as far as the end of his house. After him, the priests, the men of the valley, carried out repairs. After them, Benjamin and Hashub carried out repairs in front of their house. And after them, Hazariah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, carried out repairs beside his house. After him, Binui, the son of Hanadad, repaired another section, the house of Azariah, as far as the angle and as far as the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, made repairs from the angle in the tower projecting from the upper house of the king, which is by the court of the guard. After him, Padiah, the son of Parash, made repairs. The temple servants living in Ophel made repairs as far as the front of the water gate toward the east in the projecting tower. After them, the Tekoites repaired another section in front of the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. And above the horse gate, the priests carried out the repairs, each in front of his house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, carried out repairs in front of his house. And after him, Zemiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, carried out repairs. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam and the son of Barakiah carried out repairs in front of his own quarters. After him, Melchizedek, one of the goldsmiths, carried out repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants in front of the inspection gate, as far as the upper room of the corner. Between the upper room of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants carried out repairs. Whew! Excuse me. Why didn't Nehemiah say they all got together and built the thing? Wouldn't that have been a whole lot easier? They just had a good old fish fry one afternoon and they all built the thing. Well, it didn't take an afternoon, first of all. And second of all, I wanted to read every one of those names because every one of those people, they banded together in unity. And they stood up, some of them doing nothing more than standing up and building the wall right here where I live. But others, and you notice some names being repeated there. Meremoth was one of them who got repeated. He did one section and then he went and did another section. Some folks got up and did one section after another. And some folks did a whole bunch. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired not only the valley gate, but they went and did 1,500 feet of wall all the way to the refuse gate. And oh, by the way, if you noticed in the middle there, old Malchijah got the refuse gate. You know what refuse is? Garbage. He built the garbage door. The door you go out and dump your garbage. Actually, it literally is the ash pit gate. It doesn't literally in Hebrew say refuse or garbage. It says ashes or ash pit. It's where you would have scraped out all the burnt garbage and the burnt ashes and the stuff from your house and dumped it out. It's still the garbage gate. Nobody was going to notice the garbage gate when they went back in and out much, but Shalom, he built the fountain gate and the pool of Shelah. Now that'd be a nice thing to build, the fountain gate. Wouldn't that be beautiful? The gate by the fountain, everybody comes in and out that gate. So whether you're building a part of this wall that it gets a lot of praise and attention, or you're building the part that you take the garbage out, they needed every one of these people united and bound together. And oh, by the way, Shalom apparently didn't have any sons, so he went out and built with him and his daughters. Some groups represented other folks. There's one group that represented the governor of the province across the river. There's another group that didn't even live there. They're from Jericho, and they came and built. Some built in groups, some built alone. Some didn't seem to know much about building. They're goldsmiths and perfumers, but they built anyway. They built anyway. They built anyway. And remember those bad guys I told you about? Well, they came back and caused trouble in chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And Nehemiah came back in their face and said, "You cut it out." No, he didn't either. He went to God and prayed in verse 4 of chapter 4. In verse 6, they went back to work. And in verse 7, they came back and caused more trouble. And in verse 9, you know what they did? They prayed again. And in verse 21, they went back to work. And then there was trouble inside the camp. There was division inside the workforce in verse 5. Inner strife. And Nehemiah made a correction between verse 6 and verse 13. And he corrected, verse 15, I should say, then he corrected the strife. And everybody said, okay. And in verse 15, they praise God. I should say verse 13, they praise God. And in verse 16, they went back to work. Nehemiah said in 5:16, I also applied myself to the work of this wall. They repeatedly brought things back to God. In chapter 6, verse 2, the evil outsiders, the troublemakers said, I tell you what, Nehemiah, just hold off on a second on your building. Let's go talk. And Nehemiah said, I'm not talking. I'm building. And he prayed to God, oh God, strengthen my hands. He had enticement from outside in verse 2. He had enticement from inside in verse 10. Somebody saying, Nehemiah, back off. Back off. You're doing too much. Why don't you go hide yourself? See, nobody hurts you. And Nehemiah said, I'm not hiding myself. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all our enemies had heard it and all the nations surrounding saw it, they lost their confidence. So they because they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. We're going to be talking about our new building today. I don't know what part in it you'll have or I'll have. But if we stay united and we stand up and build as we can, and that means financial contributions, that means literally physically helping, that means bringing in ideas, and that always means prayer. That always means prayer. We pray before we start. We pray while we're building. We pray when trouble happens. We pray when good things happen. We unite ourselves and we pray. We pray. The God of heaven will give us success. And because we know He'll give us success and He has brought us to this point, we will arise and build as it's possible. God will give you success in your personal life and He'll give us success collectively. At this point, if there's any here who need to correct something in their life, whether it's baptism into Christ or anything else before the church, come forward and let us know. We'll help you. If you need a Bible study or you need any help at all, just prayer or some acknowledgement, let us know. Please come forward and let us help you while we stand and sing the song that David has chosen.